Have you heard of that series on Netflix where there's cake decorators who can make cakes that look like the real thing? Have you seen that? Heard about it? It's crazy what they do. And then they have contestants who look at them and they decide, is it real or is it fake? Now, if you would have seen me before a couple years ago, before I started this healthy kick that I'm on, everywhere I went, I had a Dr. Pepper can in my hand. How many people love Dr. Pepper? Dr. Pepper, we got some Dr. Pepper fans here. Yep, we got some people who like Dr. Pepper in here. And Dr. Pepper is a special cola that's been around for a really long time. It was started in Waco, Texas. Matter of fact, recently I got to visit Waco, Texas and went to the Dr. Pepper Museum. It was awesome. I loved it. I love Dr. Pepper. And as a matter of fact, they have officially figured out a classification for Dr. Pepper. They said it is not a cola and it's not a root beer. It's its own category. It can't be categorized. And so it's something special about Dr. Pepper. Let me tell you, if someone likes Dr. Pepper, then they're probably a real fan of Dr. Pepper. They understand it. They know it. They love it. And I want to know if there's anybody in the room today that would like to have a Dr. Pepper. Is there anybody that I can bring up and I can give you a Dr. Pepper? I want to give you a Dr. I'm seeing a hand being volunteered over there. You want a Dr. Pepper? Are you a big Dr. Pepper fan? Then come on up here. Let's give her a hand as she comes up here. Yeah. Come right up here, right next to me. I promise I won't make you do anything crazy, okay? Yeah, she's a little nervous. Come up. Okay, so I want to give you a Dr. Pepper because you're a real Dr. Pepper fan. So in this box, I've got a Dr. Pepper for you. Here it is right now. Is there something wrong? She doesn't know what to do. She's like, I don't want to be rude. Like, I want to be grateful because you gave me something I didn't have. But is this Dr. Pepper? No. I mean, here's the real sign of a true Dr. Pepper fan is that when they go to a restaurant and the waiter or waitress asks, what do you want to drink? And they say, I want a Dr. Pepper. And they say, oh, yeah, we have Mr. Pibb. A real Dr. Pepper says, then I'll have water. Like, we don't have it. And you would prefer not to drink this. This is not Dr. Pepper, is this? No, you'd prefer to have the real thing. And so here you go. Let's give it up for her. She's got a real Dr. Pepper. Thank you very much. Now, real or fake? We got a fake Dr. Pepper here. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to place this fake Dr. Pepper right here in the front of the stage. Anyone who wants it, just come up and grab it, okay? Let's see if anybody wants the fake Dr. Pepper. No tricks, just a free drink. Hey, there we go. Awesome. Let me tell you, a true Dr. Pepper fan knows the real thing personally. They have experience as to what it's supposed to taste like, and they know and appreciate the real thing. And when it comes to Jesus, we tend to question what is real and what is fake. Today, we're looking to ask and answer this question. Does Jesus heal? Meaning, is this healing thing that we talk about, is it real or is it fake? Now, if you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, then I've got some good news for you. There is hope found in Jesus. And today, at the end of this message, we're going to give you the opportunity to receive that hope. I'd like for you to grab your phones, pull up your Bible app on it. We're going to be turning today to Matthew chapter 4 of the New Living Translation. The words are going to be up on the screen here in just a second, but we encourage you to look it up for yourself because the first rule in trying to figure out what the Bible means, what it's trying to say to you, is to read what's before it and what's after it, to read it in context. And so if you have it bookmarked on your phone, you can read it later. Read it later, not right now. Read it later all around it. But let me tell you what's happening in this passage. We're in the first book of the New Testament. It's telling the story of Jesus. Jesus just spent 40 days and 40 nights being tempted by Satan, and then his public ministry starts. He calls the first few guys to be his disciples, and then he is going around talking to people about the kingdom of God. And so we're picking up today in Matthew chapter 4, starting with verse 23. Here's what it says. Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. News spread about him as far as Syria, and people soon began bringing to him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. Large crowds followed him wherever he went. People from Galilee, the 10 towns, Jerusalem, from all over Judea, from the east of the Jordan River. Let's pray. God, I pray that as we unpack your word for us today, that you would help us as we try to discover what's real, what's fake when it comes to your healing. Challenge us and change us today. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. 1 year ago, we had this realization that with us live streaming our services, we have lots of video footage of the messages. And so we had this crazy idea. What if every week we could create a small little snippet of video, a vertical video of just like the main point or something cool that happened in the message, and let's put it all over social media. And so we started doing that, and guess what? No one watched them. I don't know why. No one just watched them. We got no views. But as time went on, all of a sudden we got views and views and views. As a matter of fact, every time we post now, like thousands of people watch these videos. And I was checking Facebook yesterday for our Focus Church Facebook page, and I saw a math problem that kind of troubled me. Because now they list how many people have liked Focus Church and how many people follow Focus Church. And those numbers are not the same. You see, we have over 700 likes of Focus Church, but we have over 1,000 people who follow us. And I'm scratching my head and I'm doing the math and I'm saying, why would people follow us if they don't like us? Doesn't make sense. Now, there's someone out there who's smart enough to know the difference between the two and everything, but let me just say, just simple math, like, why would people follow and they don't like us? Well, I think it might have something to do with this fact, that sometimes people like the videos produced, or they like getting credit for watching a one-minute version of the sermon versus coming in and spending, you know, all this time in these chairs here. Maybe they just want the little snippet because pastor might bring out an airplane again, or he might wear his Chiefs jersey or something, or maybe I'll tell a cool story. Who knows? But the thing is that there are people who are following Focus Church because they want to see what are we going to do next. And as Jesus began his ministry, people began to follow him. He started collecting followers. But I would tell you, all those people who are followers are not necessarily following him because they believed in him or because they liked him. They heard stories about a guy who's doing some strange stuff. And so they decided, let's go see what he's doing. Let's go see what this is all about. Let's see if this guy is fake or if he's real. Now, as he's doing this, everywhere that Jesus went, he healed people. It's like something he did every single place. That was the thing I believe that people really came in to see, to say, hey, I want to know if that healing thing is real or fake. He keeps on going around healing people. And so what they would do is they would bring people who need healing to Jesus. Whatever was ailing them, whatever sickness they had, whether they believed in Jesus or not, they wanted a chance to be whole, to be healed, to not suffer, to not be in pain. And whoever came to Jesus, the Bible says, he healed them all. Now, as Matthew is starting telling us the story of Jesus and why what he was doing when he was on this planet, he's first saying a summary of, hey, here's what's going on. But then he starts going into specifics, some specific situations where people got healed. And so one of them, he talks about a guy who comes up to him who has leprosy. And leprosy was a disease that no one wanted to be around. Technically, it's a disease that affects your nerves where you can't feel. And so then you begin damaging your body without even realizing because you can't feel pain. And so people would lose parts of their body because they would fall off because they can't tell that it hurts. But at that time, they thought this is a dangerous disease and no one wants to be around. It might be contagious and I don't want to get us too. And it disfigures him. But this guy was insistent. He kept on coming in front of Jesus. Jesus, I just want to be healed. I just want this to be whole. I want to be whole again. And Jesus healed him and said, because of your faith, you are healed today. It goes on to say that there was a Roman officer who had a servant girl who was extremely sick. And so this Roman officer came to Jesus, which was not a normal thing to have happen. These are occupying forces here. And he's coming to see Jesus. And he says, hey, I've got this servant who's really sick. I want you to heal. And Jesus says, I'll go. Let's go take care of this girl. And he begins to go, and the Roman officer says, whoa, hold on. You don't have to come all the way to my house. I'm not worthy to have you in my house. He said, but I understand authority. I understand that there are people who work for me, and I work for people. And I believe that you have authority. And if you just say the word, that girl's going to be healed, I believe. Jesus points out in another book, it's recorded, he says, I have never seen such faith in all the land of Israel than this guy right here, who was not even a Jewish guy. Big faith. But that girl was healed immediately. Then Jesus and his posse, they're going over to Peter's house. And at Peter's house, his mother-in-law is there, and his mother-in-law loves hosting and is taking care of all the boys who are visiting and everything, except when they show up, it's not a party. There's no food because she is sick. And so Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law, and she gets right up and starts making sandwiches for all the boys. It's crazy. Everywhere Jesus went, he healed people. And Matthew points out in Matthew chapter 8 that when Jesus healed all the sick, that what was happening was this, that this fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, he took our sicknesses and removed our diseases. You see, all these crowds were trying to figure out, like, is the miracle real or is it fake? When actually the fact that he was healing people was a sign. It was proof that it wasn't just, hey, here's a cool thing that's happening, but that Jesus was the Messiah. Because the prophet Isaiah promised, saying the Messiah is going to heal people. He's going to take away sicknesses and disease. It was a sign that Jesus was real and not fake. As we get to Matthew chapter 9, there's a woman who is forcing her way through a crowd who has been sick for 12 years, has had this problem with her body. She's like, I just want to get whole. As a matter of fact, in another book of telling Jesus' story, explains that this lady had been to doctors all over the land. She spent all her money. No one could figure out what was wrong with her, and she suffered for 12 long years. But she was going to make her way through the crowd to Jesus. Nothing was going to stop her. Now, this past fall, my wife and I got a chance to go visit Paris. And while we were in Paris, we did the touristy things. We saw the Eiffel Tower, and then we went to that famous museum that has the pyramid in glass. Does anyone know the name of that museum? The Louvre, yes, the Louvre. And at the Louvre, we went to the Louvre, and we only had a small amount of time that we could be there, so we made sure we prioritized what were we going to see at the Louvre. And you know what it was? The Mona Lisa. We wanted to see the famous painting. But you know what? We were really shocked and surprised that in order to see the painting, they didn't have very good plans to handle the crowds, because everyone seemed to have the same idea as us. Let's go see the Mona Lisa. And so the room was packed full of people. And in order to see the Mona Lisa, to even get close enough to take a picture or take a selfie with it, you had to work your way through the crowd and push, and everyone's all up against each other. And all of a sudden, I feel someone punch me in the gut. And I'm like, what? And they're pushing me back. And I'm looking, and it's this little tiny Chinese lady who is trying to get in front of me. And I'm like, no. I wasn't going to let her cut in front of me. No budging allowed, even if it's Paris, okay? And we had to fight our way through the crowd just to take a picture. In the same way, this lady had to fight her way through the crowd just to get to Jesus. She thought, if I could just get closer, I don't even need to stop him. I believe he's the one who can heal me. If I could just even touch him, I'll be healed. Matthew describes it. Chapter 9, verse 20 says, just then a woman who has suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding came up behind him. She touched the fringe of his robe, for she thought, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has made you well." And the woman was healed at that moment. You see, Jesus told people after they were healed, he told people that it was their faith that enabled them to be healed. This woman believed and pursued and touched and was healed. And so, is healing real? Well, maybe if we could ask that lady who went through the crowd and touched Jesus, she would be able to personally say, I have proof. I was sick. I was hurting. And now I'm not after I touched Jesus. See, for her, it was real. And I would say that as Jesus followers ourselves, as we look at the Bible and read the stories, we would say, you know what? There's proof and there's evidence and there's stories here that while Jesus was on this planet, he healed people. That's what he did. The crowds came, they brought their sick, Jesus laid hands on them, they were healed. There's no doubt that Jesus healed while he was here. But then the question comes, well, that's good back then, but does Jesus heal now? When I was a kid, my parents and I, we went to this church, and I remember always seeing this young man who was in a wheelchair, and I was a naive little kid that says, why is he in a wheelchair, Mom, Dad? And they would tell me the story about how this kid, when he was with this young man, when he was a teenager, that they were horsing around in their pool, and he had an accident that involved the diving board and the ground, and he had broken his neck. He was paralyzed from the neck down because of a moment of really stupidity. And he suffered ever since. And I remember seeing this young man as every week they'd push him in his wheelchair, come to church. They would go to church every single week. And there was a sign on the back of his wheelchair. And it said this, "By his stripes, I am healed." It was quoting scripture. But I remember as a kid reading that and saying, but you're not. You're still in the wheelchair. Does Jesus not heal today? Because I saw them time after time, church service after church service, that anytime the pastor said, hey, anyone who needs prayer, come forward, let us pray for you, his parents would wheel him out and take him all the way down. They would lay hands on him, and they would pray for his healing, and he would still be in the wheelchair. And my thinking as a kid was like, wow, maybe it was just Jesus in the Bible times, and it's not for today times. But what I didn't realize back then that I now realize is that that young man never gave up. He had faith. Remember, Jesus says, by your faith that you're healed. And every time he was in that wheelchair that had a sign, by his stripes, he was declaring, I am healed. Every time his parents took him to be prayed for, they were saying, our faith doesn't have an expiration date. We are not giving up, because what if it's with the next prayer that God says yes? Because right now he's just been saying, not yet, not yet, not the right time, not now. You see, they were exercising faith. They were showing it. They were not giving up because they believed. You see, Jesus can heal us. It became personal for me the first year of our marriage, long time ago. We've been married 25 years. In our first year of marriage, we were living in Fort Worth, Texas. And in Texas, the rumors are true. Everything is bigger in Texas, okay, including the highway system. And to get around the highway system, you don't go on the little roads. You go on these interstates that are like flying all around the town. Everyone's going 70 miles per hour. It's crazy, right through downtown. It's crazy stuff. And I was having some car trouble, and so I had left my car at work, and we made arrangements after dinner to go pick up my car, and Shalee was going to follow me in her car so we could try to get my car home so I can get it to a mechanic to see what's going on. And the car that I had was a little old Ford Escort hatchback, two-door hatchback, okay? I was just happy I could get around, okay? But I'm just kind of putzing along in the right-hand lane. Shalee's following me. She's putting her blinkers on so that, you know, people realize we're going a little bit slower than normal. And I'm just like, dear God, help us get home. Okay, I was worried. But we had to go on the interstate. I'm in the right-hand lane. But what I didn't realize that what came up, what felt like all of a sudden, was the fact that another highway was in a curve and joined in with the highway that we're at. So when I was driving in the right-hand lane, all of a sudden I found myself in the middle lane of a five-lane interstate. And that's when my car said, I'm done. I stopped, rolled forward, boom. That's it. I am stuck in the middle lane of an interstate, five lanes wide. I'm trying to motion to Shalee, go around, because she stopped behind me, and that means someone's going to come up behind her and smash me, and we're like, we can't lose two cars. And so I'm like, motion, go. And I remember sitting there looking in the rearview mirror, trying to look for an opening to open the door, to run over to the side. And there were so many cars, vroom, 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 70 miles per hour. I'm stuck. It's dark. It's 11 o'clock at night. And I realized the inevitable is about to happen. You see, because I'm watching in that rearview mirror, I can picture it right now, as clear as day. You see, I watch as the headlights would come from the highway, come around the corner, and then see me all of a sudden swerve out of the way. So I'm constantly seeing cars, headlights, swerve, 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 trying to hit me. And I'm freaking out. I'm bracing myself. I'm holding that steering wheel as tight as I can. I'm looking at the rearview mirror knowing that two headlights are going to just hit me. And I'm crying. And I'm saying, God, help me. I want to escape, but I can't. Felt like I was there forever. It might have been a minute. It might have been five. I don't know, but I was watching the headlights. When all of a sudden, I saw a pair of headlights that were barreling down, and they never swerved. And they hit the back rear end of my little Ford Escort that had a full tank of gas in the back and sent it flying down the highway. Firefighters later told us it went 70 yards down the highway. It went that much momentum. See, I was a little hatchback, and they were a 1970s Buick driven by some teenagers who never saw my car. Never stopped. 70 miles an hour. Shalee had gone down to the very next exit. She had turned around to come to the exit back behind me. By the time she was passing me on the other side, there were already fire trucks everywhere, ambulances everywhere. She worked her car through the crowd on the highway and made it all the way, and they wouldn't let her come close. They held her back, put her into a fire truck, and here's what they told her. They said, well, he's alive. But they're making big advancements on people who are paralyzed. And maybe you'll luck out with something. It'll be okay. And she's like, what? He's paralyzed. You see, the car was mangled. The back rear tires were no longer in the back. They were underneath where the driver's seat should be. The driver's seat was no longer attached to the floor. Gasoline was everywhere. I remember overhearing in my semi-lucid moment of firefighters saying, hey, I'm surprised there's not a fire. They had to cut the car open to get me out. They put me on a stretcher. They put me in the ambulance. Luckily, the hospital was only a mile away downtown Fort Worth. I was going in and out, sort of knowing. I remember when they wheeled me into the emergency room, all the medical professionals there were kicked out, all the firefighters and paramedics, saying, you guys reek of gasoline. You cannot be in this emergency room. Get out of here. And then they were like, we got to get the x-rays going right away. The x-ray machine's not ready. What do we do? And so they took my gurney with me laying on it, and they stuck me in a hallway just for a second. They said, we'll be right back. We're getting the x-ray machine ready. And I remember laying by myself on that gurney in pieces, wondering what is going on, what is happening. And I just cried out, Jesus. And in the moment that I cried out, Jesus, I saw Jesus. And I saw Jesus reach out his hand to me, and he said, Ryan, you've got more work to do. I have more for you. And in that moment that he reached out his hand to me, I was seeing this as I laid on the gurney. I felt heat in my neck, in my back, in my legs. And then, boom, the medical professionals were back, and they wheeled me into the x-rays and took x-rays all over the place and everything. And then they brought me into a room, and the doctors came, and they're looking at the x-rays, and they're, what's going on? And they're trying to figure out. And finally, one of the doctors says, can you move your leg? I'm like, I think so. And I start moving my leg. Like, can you move your other leg? I'm like, I think so. I move my other leg. Can you move your arms? I think so. Can you sit up? I think so. And I sit up. Can you stand up? And I stood up. Can you walk? I'm walking. Are you in pain? No, I'm not. And the doctor's scratching his head. He's like, I saw you come into this ER. You were broken. And I can't find proof of anything that's broken. And so I asked, then can I leave? Of which he said, I think so. And I got to walk out of the emergency room in less than an hour of coming in on my own 2 feet. And how many of you know that's a miracle, leaving an emergency room in just an hour? Okay? Jesus healed me. He restored me. He made me whole. And let me just tell you, no one can take that away from me. It's my story. It's I no longer have to wonder if Jesus does heal because I experienced it firsthand. I no longer have to wonder, is healing real or is it fake? Because I experienced it. I'm proof that Jesus heals today. And if you've ever experienced Jesus heal you, then you've got a story to share. And you need to share your story because your story of healing, it can help someone else. But it's time for you to decide. Do you believe that Jesus can heal? Is it real or is it fake? And if you're like me and you choose to believe that Jesus is the real thing when it comes to healing, then we need to start living our lives in such a way with this statement in the forefront of our thinking. The statement's found in the pink box on your notes, and it says this, that I choose to believe and have faith that Jesus can and that he will heal me. A few years ago, I woke up one morning and have you ever had that experience where you must have slept wrong and like your shoulder hurts? It's like, it's like just bothering me. Like, it's part of getting old, I hear. But a friend of mine said, hey, you know, you really should see a chiropractor to get that checked out. And I've never been to a chiropractor in my life. So it was all a new experience for me. And I went to this chiropractor, and he wanted to take some x-rays. He said, let's take some x-rays. Let's see what's going on. You've never been to a chiropractor. I think he was just excited to pop me or something, you know. He's like, oh, it's going to make big pops, you know. This guy's never been before. But he was checking out the x-rays, and you probably all know how a doctor checks out x-rays, right? They got film, they stick it on the light box that's on the wall, and they kind of look at it and everything, and we might not know what we're looking at, but they know. They've been trained. They know what they're looking at in those x-rays. And so he's just kind of like rubbing his chin. He's looking at the x-rays on there, and he just declares all matter-of-factly. He's like, oh, I see, just looking right here. You've had spinal surgery before. I said, no, I haven't. He's like, oh, yes, you have. You've had surgery before on your spine. I said, no, I haven't. He said, you've had some catastrophic event that required surgery. And I'm like, no, sir, I haven't. I said, I was in a car wreck. And he's like, and you had surgery. You broke your neck. I said, no, I didn't. And so then he's starting to get upset because he's saying, listen, I know what I'm talking about. I'm a medical professional. I'm looking at your x-ray. And do you see this vertebrae and this vertebrae? They've been fused together. And that happens when someone has surgery on their spine, when they have a broken neck. I got kind of excited. I said, I've never had surgery, but you just showed me medical proof that Jesus healed me. Medical proof. Jesus does heal. It's not fake. it's real, and I'm proof. And I don't care how long you've been praying for healing, don't give up. Continue to have faith. Jesus said it's by your faith that he heals. He still heals today. We see that he healed everywhere he went with the crowds. It was a sign he was the Messiah. And yet he still heals today because he's still our Savior and it's our Lord. And if you are a Jesus follower and you're saying, hey, I hurt, my body's in pain, I need help. I got this diagnosis that the doctor said that it's not good. Then you know what you need to be doing? You need to be doing what James says to do. In James chapter 5, verse 14, it says, are any of you sick? Then you should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. Our bodies are temporary. They are failing, and they are dying. They hold our soul. Our soul will live forever in eternity. And even though our bodies are failing and they're dying and they're hurt and they're painful and it's just not good all the time, Jesus still cares. When we end every one of our services here at Focus Church, we end with a time of worship. But we also make an invitation to you before this time of worship to say, hey, while we're worshiping, we've asked one of our pastors to stand in the back of the room to my right, to your left. And if you need prayer for anything, let us pray for you. This is in direct response to James chapter 5, saying whatever is going on with you, especially something going on with your body, with a diagnosis, with a disease, with sickness, let us pray for you because God's word says the prayer prayed in faith gets a result. This is why we pray. This is why we believe. And we don't give up. So, does Jesus heal? Is it real or is it fake? Let me tell you, it's real. He does heal. It is for today. And I stand before you as living proof that God does exist and he does heal. It's not fake. It's real. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads, to close your eyes as we take these next few moments to talk to God. God, you're an amazing God. I love that we see in your word that your son, while he was on this planet, he healed people. He cared about people. That whoever was brought to him, he healed them. And it was through their faith that it was possible. But God, we also understand that healing wasn't just for back then, but it's for us today too, that you still heal people today. So God, we believe. God, I pray that for anyone that's here or anyone who's watching online, that they would reach out to you if they are hurting, if they're sick, whatever is happening with their bodies, that they would believe that you can and that you will heal. We thank you, God, that you care for us that much, that you'll help us. And if for some reason you delay your answer, you say the timing's not right, whatever it is, we won't stop believing because we know it's true. We will trust and continue to pray to you. So thank you, God, for healing today. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name. And while our heads are still bowed, our eyes still closed, I'm reminded that at the beginning of this message, we said that if you came today looking for hope, that hope is found in Jesus, and we give you the opportunity here at the end to receive that hope. Here we are. God loves you and me so much. And yet, the fact that we're born with a sinful nature, we're born with an eternal punishment that's slated for all human beings, that we have all sinned, we all fall short of God's standard. We mentioned that we're designed to live forever, our souls are, but we're destined to spend that eternity apart from God in hell, thanks to Adam and Eve. And you might be sitting there, or you might be watching right now, questioning, saying, why would a loving God send people to hell? Well, that's our punishment. That's what we deserve. But let me tell you what a loving God did instead. He made a way when there was no way. A loving God loved you and me so much that he sent his son Jesus, not just to go around healing people, not to start a movement, not to be a good person, not to just start a religion. No, he came with a purpose and a mission. He was focused on this, that he would pay the price with his life for our sin so that we can be redeemed, so that we can be forgiven, so that we can be set free from our eternal punishment, so that we can become a part of God's family, so that we can live our lives with hope and purpose and mission. God brings focus to our life. But you may be saying, Pastor, I like what I'm hearing. I want that. So what do I have to do? The Bible says that we've got to have a conversation with God and call it prayer. In this prayer, we need to recognize that we're not worthy, that there's nothing we can do to earn our salvation. It's appropriate to say, I'm sorry for my sin. We got to believe that God loves us and that he did send his son Jesus to pay the price for us, to claim what Jesus did for ourselves. And finally, we got to go all in. We got to make that decision to say, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to make him the leader of my life. I'm going to make him the boss of me. And it's when we pray that prayer that everything changes. And I thank God that we're not designed to follow Jesus alone, but we're designed to do that with the family. And that's why there's a second step, that we get water baptized to show everybody about the prayer that we've already prayed. But right now we're focusing on that prayer, and I want to help you with that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray this prayer out loud in bite-sized pieces. I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer with me, repeating after me out loud as well. The Bible says it's with our heart that we believe, but it's with our mouth that we say it out loud. God, you're in charge of me. I'm following you. But don't worry, you're not praying alone today, because I'm asking the entire Focus family to pray this prayer with us. Whether you're in person or you're watching online, we're going to pray this prayer together. No one prays alone here. You see, this is the most important thing we do. We're focused on helping people find God's place in their life. And so let's pray this prayer together right now. Say, Dear God, I'm sorry for the sin of my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much. You sent your son, Jesus, to pay the price for me. I want to live for you with you in charge. Give me hope. Give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.